The book of Titus, chapter 2. We will begin in verse 11. Read a little story about preacher's family going to SeaWorld, and husband, wife, and kids, and the man was just amazed at the very brave trainers who would dive down into the tank with Shamu the whale. And he thought, what a gracious whale, because just one snub of its nose would send those trainers into eternity. Then he got to thinking, maybe that's why they personally hand feed them all those fish. Maybe get a little grace in return so that they can get out of that tank in one piece. And so he would watch the trainers hang on to the fins of that whale. And then he would see them at times try to put their whole arm span around the whale and hold on to it, but they couldn't quite grasp it. And then that sent the preacher into thought of, man, that's kind of like the grace of God. God, grace. We try to put our arms around it and grasp it, and we just can't get it all and absorb it all when we think about grace and what grace is. But we're going to try to do that tonight. We're going to try to grasp grace. Look at what Paul writes in Titus 2, beginning in verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." The first thing I would like to say tonight is that grace is sovereign. Grace is from God and God alone. You can't get grace anywhere else. For the grace of God. Grace comes from God. God is greater than all. So no one is going to be able to interrupt God's grace. Nothing, no force out there can mess with God's grace. I guess we could go into a little talk of you and I, you know, causing some issues with God's grace. But there's nothing out there in all eternity that can stop it. Grace comes from our Almighty God, our true and living God of the universe. There was grace before there was a man to receive grace. There was grace before all creation. But in God's power, in creation, and in God being all-knowing, He knew there would be man, and that man would need redemption. And in order for that to happen, He knew that grace was required. And God is grace, so grace always was. And so He revealed His love and His grace. And many continue to marvel today over the grace of our God to us. May we never stop being in awe of the depths of the riches of this inexhaustible fuel, if you will, this unmerited blessing and favor of God that He pours into our lives. It is sovereign. It is from God. But let's not only consider that grace is sovereign from God, but grace is saving. There is saving grace. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, the sovereign grace of God has brought to us salvation. The saving of our soul. The Son of God that was given to save us. Grace, it is unearned favor. Grace, it's getting what we do not deserve. You know, punishment is a fair return for our sins. I don't see how anybody could argue with that. That's fair. For our sinfulness, there is punishment. Our sin is rebellion against a perfect, powerful, all-knowing, almighty God. And He's everywhere we are. And He sees everything we do. And He knows everything we think. Let's think about that for just a minute. And we don't get wrath. We don't get wrath for it, though it would be fitting. Instead, we get grace extended to our lives from God. Now, God cannot and He does not overlook sin. That wouldn't be good for us if He did. But He does offer forgiveness for us from our sins. By the way, and though there's forgiveness, we all know that there can still be consequences. You know, maybe every single one of us have been forgiven, but that doesn't mean we don't have scars. We do. That doesn't mean there's not a weight in our life from it, but the debt has been canceled, forgiven, and given complete justification, and being declared righteous. All of this by grace, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Saving grace. God's given it to us. God removes our sin from His recollection because of His grace. Throughout the Bible, when we look at salvation, we find substitution there. For salvation to happen, there's substitution. One in our place. God's holiness demanded the maximum sentence for our sin. Separation from the presence of God and in the lake of fire for all eternity. But He substituted for us and bore our penalty on that tree, taking the sins of the world upon Himself. Jesus Christ died in our place. He is our salvation. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Oh, what a glorious substitute. Oh, what a wonderful gift. Salvation is the grace of God. There is saving grace. And we're very familiar with grace as we would talk about it, as we just did. But there's also sufficient grace. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God's saving grace is sufficient for all we need. And it hath appeared to all men. Every human being comes from Adam, comes under the curse of Adam, and there is not one that is excluded from the grace offer of salvation. How sufficient grace is doesn't get to be experienced until one receives salvation through faith, but there is grace that is offered to everyone, and no one is left out. There is no prejudice in any kind of way practiced toward anyone that would hold them back from being able to receive the grace of God. It is available to all. Grace is a universal offer. And we read of it confirmed in some of the very well-known scriptures that we all know. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No wonder that is such a popular verse. It is the most popular verse. That is grace for all. Everyone can come to the grace of God. How about Romans 10:13? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know how many times I've said to anyone under the sound of my voice, your name is whosoever right now. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, because there's grace there for everyone. Aren't you glad that God's Holy Spirit convicts of sin, convicts the world, and draws the world to be saved? You know, as we think about saving grace and sufficient grace, you might think about the time you heard the Word of God and the Holy Spirit started to deal with your heart. Everyone, in one way or another, has been exposed to the light of God. And God in His wisdom has drawn everyone that they might make the decision to receive the blessed grace of God through salvation in their lives and then be sustained. God's grace was sufficient to draw us to salvation. Hey, God's grace is sufficient after salvation. We needed God's grace to be saved. Do we realize we need God's grace every day? I was hanging on some of the lines of the songs that we were listening to earlier. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And there we find grace. But there's not only saving grace and sufficient grace. Let us look at something that we don't think of very often, and that is teaching grace. Grace is a teacher. Look in verse 12. The subject is the grace of God from verse 11 that bringeth salvation and hath appeared to all men, teaching us that. Grace is a teacher. It teaches us to deny ungodliness. The word deny speaks of disowning. Teaches us to disown ungodliness. We were all born with ungodliness in our hearts. Then once we were saved by grace, then this teacher grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. The experience of grace to be saved. It's a gift that was freely given. And then grace goes with us, teaching us to deny ungodliness. We're able to express the grace in our lives by the denying of ungodliness. We have the grace now as children of God to yield to the Holy Spirit of God living inside us. Have confidence in that, children of God. He's provided His grace to teach us, and He's empowered us to be able to live by yielding to the Holy Spirit in such a way that we deny ungodliness. You know, before we were saved, ungodly deeds were committed in ungodly fashion out in the open. In the book of Jude, in verse 15, it says, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. But the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. Maybe someone in their lost state was trying to turn over a new leaf, and maybe things seemed to be a little bit better for a while, but it didn't stick and it didn't impress God, because it takes the teacher grace for you and I to deny ungodliness. And how about that experience in our lives when we know it's not us, when we know it's something that we could never do, but oh, the grace of God. And we see it in our lives teaching us to deny ungodliness. We were only able to express ungodliness, but now we can express godliness, and we can even depress the ungodliness. You know, that's a good test that will make it quite clear to someone if they've ever been saved or not. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. One of my favorite subjects to talk about is the change that God makes in our lives when He saves us. Not that I am completely changed. I am not everything I ought to be. And you didn't know what I was. In general, you did. We were lost sinners. But I'm not what I was. And who knows if when I was a young Christian, I kind of thought I had a little something to do with it. Kind of makes you feel good to try to give yourself a little credit, but none of the credit belongs to us. It belongs to God. It's because of His grace that we have been changed. Wow, the change that God brings about, the teacher that grace is. It speaks of the power of the grace of God, and it speaks of the beauty of the grace of God. When we think about the change that He's made in our lives, we are able to deny ungodliness. We didn't have that power before. What a beautiful change grace makes in a life. How about someone we all are familiar with? John Newton. A rough, tough, cussing, mean sailor. Out on the deck of that ship in a storm. And he met the grace of God. He was saved. He clearly displayed ungodliness. But on that ship in that storm, he was saved and he was immediately changed. He went from detestable to beloved and always stayed amazed at the grace of God, as the testimony would tell it. And of course, we all know these words, and we all know he wrote them. But I just want to say them like it's the first time ever. He wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed." How beautiful is the grace of God in the change that took place in our lives. It wasn't us. We know it wasn't us. We couldn't do it. But God did by His grace. And it's continued to teach us. It's continually changing us, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. You know what some people let affliction do to them? Turn them back to the world. Turn away from the Lord and back to the lust of the world. Grace teaches us to cope with our affliction and to turn our back on the world, which is the enemy of God's grace. Grace is teaching us to deny worldly lusts. And James, it says, when lust conceives, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Grace teaches us to be able to deny going down that road. Oh, the grace of God that we need every day. Grace gives us a new road. Grace gives us the high road, what we could never do before when affliction came our way. But it keeps us from being bitter. It turns us to the Lord. Thank God for this teacher that He knows we continually need in our lives, and it's called grace. Grace is a teacher for you and I. And it not only rejects ungodliness and worldly lusts, but it reproduces. There are things that it teaches us not to do, but there are things that it will teach us to do, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. After receiving the grace of God, how do we know that we've received the grace of God, that we have been saved? Because it turns around and it starts reproducing goodness from us, goodness and godliness from our lives, teaching us to live soberly. That word soberly, it speaks of self-control. Self-control over the passions and desires of the flesh. That's what grace is actively doing in the life of a child of God, that we may become more and more like Jesus. To think that God is predestined us to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. By God's grace, with His grace, He has a plan for us to become more and more like Jesus Christ, teaching us to live soberly and righteously. Grace produces rightness in our lives. Doing right when it's easy, and doing right when it costs us something. Doing right when no one is around to see. Carrying out promises even when they're inconvenient. Righteousness, rightness, doing what is right. We should keep our word, and by grace we can keep our word. We're to stand for what is right. In the church, at home, and in the world. We sing grace, grace, God's grace. And as we do we think about the teacher that grace continually is in our lives, so that we're less and less of what we were before, and we're more and more of what God wants us to be. More and more of the result of the reason for us having grace in our lives as children of God moving forward. This is what grace is doing in the lives of Christians after the experience of salvation, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, living soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. The way we were, that the world still is. I mean, it consists of pridefulness. It consists of prejudice, of pleasure, of passions. And the Christian will be challenged. We're continually challenged by the world. There are those just waiting for us to fall out of this Christian season that we're in, as they would say. But grace teaches us to live. Grace teaches us to live as God would have us to live. Soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. We sometimes get caught up in connecting grace only to this wonderful, unmerited, unearned favor of God that grants us salvation. Maybe when we sing of grace, maybe sometimes that's all we think about. And we can't get our arms all the way around it. But maybe we can have some balance and some appreciation, some thought in more depth of what grace is all about. Salvation and that sanctification process within salvation, where grace is a teacher. We're saved by grace, and after we're saved by grace, we're taught by grace. Just a word of rhyme as we close, a short one. I stumbled across this, and it says, "Do this and live, the law demands, but gives me neither feet nor hands. A better word God's grace does bring. It bids me fly and gives me wings." A teacher teaching us not to do the things that we used to do. Teaching us to do the things of God. We need grace for that, and God's giving grace in all of our lives. There is grace for the Christian life and needed from beginning to end. God has set us up to have this experience for the rest of our lives. Realize that there's always grace there. Realize that God's grace is always there in our time of need. And let us realize, I was going to say everything that it is, but we just kind of scratched the surface tonight. It would make a good series. I don't know that I'm going there. But let us realize from what we've shared tonight, all that grace is. Salvation, to be saved from our sins. It's not like you're a candidate. It's not like you get interviewed for it to see if you can be approved to be saved. It's freely given. Salvation is free. You are set free from the penalty of sin in salvation. Has anyone delayed being saved from their sins? Has anyone denied it? If you have, that grace offer is still there. And it's free from God through Jesus Christ. Would you trust Him tonight if you never have? And if you are saved, and if you are struggling, realize maybe many more things that grace will do in all of our lives. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we come to You again tonight. And Lord, we have needed to worship You together. We've needed to pray together to You. I thank You for uniting us together to hear Your Word and to sing praises to Your name. Lord, we pray that You're pleased tonight and that hearts have truly been open and worshiping You. May we not leave here the same. Lord, may we be in awe of Your grace and so thankful for Your grace and everything that it does in our lives. You are so good to us. You've been so good to us in so many ways, and we could just talk about it all night long. We can talk about it service after service, but we praise You tonight. We praise You tonight for truth. We praise You tonight that we believe that Your grace is with us all the time and that right now You're mighty to save one that may be lost here this evening or listening online. And that's going to happen by Your grace, Lord. And it never fails. And we thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. If everyone could please rise tonight and stand up. Page.